949-8686. And now, Phil Hendry.
We have the line open. Yeah, we're going to start our show, start the hour here with Mike Tyson, because I know he has signed that Etienne fight is on with Clifford Etienne and Mike Tyson. Not that it's a big deal, Mike, but we did want to have, it gives us the opportunity to talk to you. Mike Tyson is joining us, and Harry Belafonte is there too?
Yeah, Harry's here, and I'm going to let him do most of the talking, Phil, but we're excited about the fight.
Mike, you have always been an animal who rapes women and assaults women and bites ears and mugs old ladies, and you were basically a dirty little punk in Brooklyn, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
And wouldn't you say you still are?
Yes.
So, don't you think it's a testament to a society like America that an animal like you still walks around free?
Well, I think it is. Obviously, I do believe that America's a great country, but when you say things like that about me, what I say publicly is that you're a racist.
But why would you say racism and you not really mean it?
Well, because it immediately pulls the sympathy vote for me.
Oh, okay.
Because people will not question me further. They'll simply say they understand for fear that they'd be called racists, too.
But you do agree that you're a dirty little punk that ought to be in a cage.
Yes, absolutely, Phil. There's no doubt about that.
Now, speaking of Uncle Tom's, I know you have Harry Belafonte with you.
Yeah, Harry, come on over. Hi, Phil.
Hey, Harry, how are you?
Very, very good.
Harry, you basically built your career, and I just want to tell Mike that we're very happy to talk to him, but I did want to get to you, too.
Yeah, hold. Mike, put that down, okay? He's got the keys to my car, so I... Put it down, will you?
Why?
I said to put it down. He's got the keys to my car, Phil.
Well, do you want to,
Could you hold on for a minute?
Yeah.
Put him down.
How come?
Put him down!
Why?
Put the keys to my car down, you... Okay, I'm sorry. Mike's a great guy, and I love him, and he's a brother, but when he grabs the keys to my car, all bets are off. All bets are off.
Go ahead. Do you need to deal with it?
No, I'm good.
All right, Harry, as I was going to say, you basically built your career on playing calypso music and dancing around with a straw hat.
That's correct.
And then you met Martin Luther King.
Then I met Martin Luther King, and I realized I had to get involved in the struggle to bring civil rights to the African Americans. Dr. King was profoundly important.
Which is admirable. And I think it makes it all the more sad that something snapped in you and you started calling Colin Powell and Condoleezza Rice and Uncle Tom or Condoleezza Rice some slave concubine. When exactly, Harry, and I'm trying to figure out, when exactly did you get stupid?
Well, it really has to do with the fact that my career has been declining for years, Phil. I mean, there's only so much of that, you know, ya man, the jackass, he bray, yeah.
That is embarrassing, isn't it?
It really is. So my career was in decline. And then I saw the moral outrage of 9/11, and I realized Americans were beginning to coalesce not on racial lines, but they were getting together as Americans.
Okay.
And I couldn't let that happen, so I decided to inject a fresh, piping hot bowl full of race hate into the mix to make sure my name was out front.
Now, as you know, Harry, I'm sure you know this, you'd have to climb a 10-foot ladder just to kiss Colin Powell's ass.
Oh, absolutely.
So what makes you think you have the right to call that man an Uncle Tom? And the biggest question is, what gives you the guts?
Well, because I guess what I'd really like to do is be a talk show host, have a talk show. Because for a guy who is just a B actor and a so-so singer with the Caribbean steel drum thing, that'd be a major move up the career ladder.
Well, I tell you what, Harry, anytime you want to come on my show and use all 3 hours, you're more than welcome to sit here and make a complete ass out of you, out of yourself, and I'll have my listeners call in and rip you one.
I'd appreciate that, Phil.
Now, by the way, Harry, is Mike still there?
Mike, what are you doing? I'm going to get some ice cream. He wants to get ice cream. I don't know what the...
Okay, because I wanted to just wish him luck in that fight tonight.
Phil wishes you luck. Yeah, bullcrap.
He doesn't believe it.
Because I'm not really sincere. The question that I have for you is, I found a song that you used to sing, Harry, called the Jackass Song.
Yeah.
Can I quote the lyrics?
Well, they're really embarrassing.
Well, of course they're embarrassing. They were sung by you.
Right, well, it's true.
All right, here they are. Play that theme, man. Jackass will jump and bray. Let him bray, let him bray. I say the jackass will jump and bray. Lordy, let him bray. Now, that's pretty step and fetch it stuff, isn't it?
Yep, that's dark up the face, put on the white glove stuff. Absolutely.
So, in other words, you're an Uncle Tom.
Oh, yeah. No, I never denied the fact that I'm an Uncle Tom, but one of the reasons why I called Colin Powell an Uncle Tom is because, as I say, I'm full of hate that I never had his education. I'm full of anger at myself for not doing more with my life, than jumping around and singing "De Jackass Hebreman" all day long. You know, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to see an African American like Colin Powell, Marian Anderson, to see African Americans like Paul Robeson, to see the Frederick Douglasses, and then here I am, Harry Belafonte, singing "Now the news really travel fast, man, when the donkey in the meadow grass, man." You know, I feel like an ass, and I think I really ought to just do the right thing.
Would you please? That'd be great if you'd just go into a room with a nickel-plated revolver and blow the back of your head out.
Well, I think I will. I think I will. I think it'd be fun. And do you think I'd get my name in the paper?
Oh, yeah. Oh, hell yeah. It would be the headline.
All right. I'll do that.
All right. Well, that's what our recommendation for you, Harry, is. And Mike? Is Mike there?
Mike! Mike! Oh, come on. He's getting a bag of lemon heads. I don't know what that...
Okay, what is it, candy?
Yeah, what are you getting? Candy? He's got some ice cream and some lemon heads. What do you want?
Just say Phil says, drop dead.
Henry says you're all right. Okay, Phil.
All right, Harry, thank you, and thanks to Mike.
You got it.
You're a real Uncle Tom.
Thank you.
All right. That's Harry Belafonte and Mike Tyson. Mike is fighting, I don't know when, for $1 million. Is it tonight? Saturday night. It'll be another one of those fights. Who knows what's going to happen. I hear he got a thing on his face. You know what? Mike Tyson could get all the tattoos on his kisser that he wanted if he wasn't such a walking animal. If the guy wasn't something that you had to throw into a cage and throw meat to. Get all the tattoos you want. But biting ears, raping women, I don't know where I come from. It's over the line, but maybe in your neighborhood it's okay. See, this is what I mean. It's wonderful to meet people, to mix and mingle, to understand each other's culture. And I just think it's great to meet a Mike Tyson and find out all about the world he's from. Raping women, beating them up, and mugging them. And in my world, see, I get hit by women. I get slapped by my mother and my wife. Well, that's not funny, though, is it? Because I know men are getting abused nowadays, so don't make funny of abuse. Don't make fun of abuse. Well, I think I will. I think I will make fun of it. I get hit by my wife. Ha, ha, ha! The Jackass song. Anytime Harry Belafonte opens that big freaking Caribbean trap of his, why don't you quote back these lyrics to him? Now I tell you in a positive way, don't tie me donkey down there. Oh, please. Don't tie your donkey down there. Cause me donkey will rump and play. Don't tie me donkey down there. Well, it's an obvious metaphor for the penis. Where does he get off singing this garbage? Hey, Belafonte, clean up your act. Apologize to Colin Powell. Then do the honorable thing in a little hotel room down in San Diego. In a little motel room in San Diego where the manager will just hear, and he'll wonder, well, is that a backfire or something? And just a little bit of smoke coming from room 6. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Communist influenced.
And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
You know, I realize I mentioned the name Harry Belafonte. 90% of the audience don't even know who the hell it is I'm talking about. But the guy used to sing these calypso songs, which today I suppose we would call reggae. You know, isn't it the same? And he sang a song called we found this, the Jackass song. Listen to this. Now the news really travel fast. Don't tie me donkey down there when me donkey in the meadow grass. Sexual innuendo. And you're trying to tell me this guy is pumping that sewage out into the ears of our children? Speaking of lyrics, Avril Lavigne is a singer-songwriter. She's 17. My daughter digs this song she's got. Have you guys heard this song? Why do you have to make everything so complicated? You know that song? Okay, it's a big hit. And it's kind of funny because I was taking my daughter to school, and I'm listening to this song, and, you know, we mess with the tune. Like, Alex, you know, one of my sons and I were going, why do you have to make everything so GD complicated? You know, we'll stretch it out, and Catherine will go, quit it! No! That's not how the song goes! like when she was really small, I would purposely screw songs up like Spider-Man, Spider-Man does whatever a spider chooses to do. And she'd go, no, it's Spider-Kin. No, well, I want to sing it that way. Mommy. And then she had a song she came home from school with, which went like this. Miss Susie had a steamboat. The steamboat had a bell. Miss Susie went to heaven. The steamboat went to hell. Operate like this. So I went, Miss Susie had a steamboat. The steamboat went to heaven. And then she answered the phone, no! It's fun. It's just, it's fun messing with a kid's head. But, you know, you get away with it for about 2 days, and then they're on to you, and then everything's funny to them. Everything you do is funny. But anyway, we're driving to school, and on comes this Avril Lavigne song, you know, why do you have to make everything so complicated? Now, the song is about a girl noticing that her boyfriend is putting on the tough guy act. What do you got to, the lyrics are, why do you have to put on that? Why do you got to watch your back and act like you're cool? You look like a fool, you know? All the things that a young man and even older men, you know, middle-aged, all of us guys do with our women. We put on that pose. And she's singing, I can see through it. You're not who that guy is. You're somebody else than that. You're the guy that I like when we're by ourselves and you let your guard down and you're a really cool guy. So why don't you just quit acting like you're a tough guy? Because you and I know, you and I both know that you're not. And let's, you know, get straight. And let's have a good relationship. So, I'm thinking about it, I said, that's a really cool song. And then I realized, oh, wait a minute. It ain't so cool because the reason why he put the tough guy act on in the first place was to attract her, which did attract her. So then he keeps his tough guy act. Now all of a sudden she ain't digging it. Okay, quit being like a fool. A fool? A minute ago you thought I was sexy. So I tried to explain this to my daughter, right? I did. I tried to explain this to my 11-year-old daughter. I said, look, don't you understand what's going on with this song?
What?
So she's got the pigtail sticking out, and she's looking at me. And she has the look on her face like, come on, hurry, because I got to get back to the Barbies. What? You know, what do you want, okay? Because my girlfriends are upstairs, and we're going to play Twister and everything, so what? Okay, here's what I just want to say this. Don't you understand when she says to her boyfriend, why do you have to make everything so complicated? You're acting so cool. He's acting cool, and he's watching his back, because that's the kind of thing that attracted her to him in the first place. And my daughter goes,
no, you better not do that. Everyone likes that song.
What's that got to do with it? I said, I, the point is that the song, she's misreading.
No, everyone likes the song. They'll hate you. Don't.
I said, this, you don't understand what I'm talking about.
Not really.
Okay. She's 11. He's not going to get it. But I thought, oh, that's pretty interesting. You know, this tune is, it's don't get sucked in, because women every now and again come out with these songs that are seemingly insightful, and they're not. Why would I try to explain the theory of relativity to my daughter? Because that's just as difficult as explaining what an Avril Lavigne song is about.
Well, I don't think
she gets the whole thing. What the hell is there to get? This woman, Avril Lavigne, or whatever her name is, sings a song about the guy being tough, and I'm trying to hip my daughter to, don't think just because she's singing this tune that seems insightful, that it is insightful, because in point of fact, it is not. You're right. Why would I explain that to an 11-year-old? Yeah, I might as well have just said. And by the way, the theory of internal ice and the eternal ice theory that Hitler prescribed to. So, you know, she's 17 years old, Avril Lavigne, and she's typical of a 17-year-old girl. She's completely insane. She's completely medically, clinically insane. And the only thing you can do with a girl like that is give her the keys to the car, man. Go, baby, go. You know, can I get you? Go ahead, go. But, you know, the cool thing with this girl, and there's a new trend among so-called female singer-songwriters. Janice and I were talking about this. This is very true. Alanis Morissette, Jewel, this girl, Pink. What makes them different from the female singer-songwriters of my era? They tell the guy he can jam it up his ass. Exactly. You're a pile of crap. Get out of here, you bum. You're a bum. Feminist, well, no, but see, the feminist thing started in 1969, but do you think it infiltrated the music? Hell no. I got Joni Mitchell going, I've looked at clouds from both sides now. Ooh. Oh, well, excuse me. Let me just have another hit on that bong full of rosemary and thyme. Let me just go smoke another bay leaf. That's what we had. I've looked at love. Or you had Janis Joplin, who basically was saying, go ahead, kick me in the ass again, because I still love you, honey. Go ahead, cheat on me, beat me, leave me for dead in a motel room, because you know I'll always love you. That was Janis Joplin. Who else did we have? Who else did we have, Janis? We had Leslie Gore? What the hell is... What do you mean, Leslie Gore? I'll tell you a thing about Leslie Gore. Years and years and years ago, you guys don't even know who the hell she is, but she's the first chick to sing a song about telling a guy to go pound it up his ass sideways. She was. She did a song called You Don't Own Me way back in the 60s. It was about telling the guy, hey, don't tell me what to do. I'll do what I want. Now, that was the only song of its kind. Every song that came after that and before that had to do with, oh, baby, you're the greatest. And every female song after that was, baby, you're solid, you know? Until... along comes Alanis Morissette, and yeah, and boy, a little bit of her went a long way, didn't it? Where's she now? Man, just, she's recording her new album. They're all recording their new album. What happened to the last album she recorded is what I'd like to know. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead and record that new album there, Alanis. But the new female singer-songwriter is very honest, and she's saying, you know what, I don't have any time for you. I'm a dyke. And I think that's healthy. So this little Avril Lavigne, but again, they don't get it. The reason why we act cool, the reason why we act tough, is because that's what got you to go out with us in the first place. That's what got you to think we were God's gift to men. That's what got you to wrongly think that we were just loaded with sex appeal. That's what got you to fool yourself into thinking that we were great in bed. And now you know the truth. And then when we keep the posture going and you say, well, now, come on, you can let down the guard now because I love you now. Quit being that ass that I fell in love with. What is it that you want? What do you mean quit being the ass you fell in love with? You're a lucky man if you find a woman who recognizes that dichotomy within herself and can still be your pal or whatever the hell. I had to wrap that up. All right, 1-800-449-8686 is our number. Our Comedy Aspen Festival, our HBO Comedy Arts Festival in Aspen, I should say, or should not say. Next week, Thursday the 27th, Friday the 28th, we'll be on the air live, 4 o'clock. Live, 4 o'clock from Aspen. Now, should I tell everybody what's going on with that? Because we'll only be live those 2 days, 1 hour. 1 hour. We'll be doing our show live in front of an audience at in the St. Regis room, in the Aspen room of the St. Regis Hotel. Because we ain't about to do 3 hours live. I've done it, and I'm never going to do it again. And it's nothing, you know, I'm not criticizing anybody. The audiences have been great, everything, but it's just too much pressure to do this kind of radio show live in front of an audience for 3 hours. Any other kind of radio show, they could do it if they want. Who cares? It's not all that interesting to look at, right? But our show is a little bit of a performance, and it's really weird. It's weird because when we do our show, everybody's staring at you with their mouths all hanging open with just a hint of drool coming out the side. Ha! Was it that funny looking at me that what I'm doing? Yeah! So that's next Thursday and Friday. Now, if you'd like, log on to our website, philhenryshow.com, where I'm sure somewhere in the next few days, a big banner advertising our appearance at the Comedy Festival will show up. I don't know, I just got a feeling maybe it'll be there. Maybe my webmaster's listening. Maybe my associate producer's listening. And they'll actually put a banner up on the homepage talking about us being in Aspen. I don't know. Check it out, though, our website, and get a backstage pass. It's only $6.95. You get all the audio archives, everything that we put on the air here. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. If we get good calls, we put them on the air. But there ain't a whole lot of them. So let's see. It's the Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back. I don't know why he's got to come on.
Just do it, will you? Just do it for me as a personal favor.
All right, as a personal favor. And now it's time for Bud Dickman's Comedy Corner.
Thanks very much, sir. It's Bud Dickman, and welcome to Comedy Corner.
Jesus. So what are these? More jokes you pulled off the internet?
Why do you have to bring that up? Can't you pretend I wrote them?
Okay, Bud, why don't you give us some jokes that you wrote?
This is Bud Dickman's Comedy Corner. You want to know what's funny? Look in your face. Okay, where can you find 90 million French jokes?
I don't know. Where can you find 90 million French jokes?
In France.
Okay, next joke.
Next joke. What's the difference between a dead skunk and a dead Frenchman in the middle of the road?
What's the difference between a dead skunk and a dead Frenchman in the middle of the road? I don't know.
There's skid marks in front of the skunk.
That's not bad.
You were smiling. I seen you smile.
All right, just do another one.
How do you castrate a Frenchman?
How do you castrate a Frenchman?
Right.
I don't know.
Kick his sister in the jaw. Give that a Bud Dickman asterisk. Asterisk.
Oh, you're giving him a little, yeah, that's a cutie.
What do you call 100,000? Sorry.
Somebody kick you in the jaw?
Shut up. What do you call 100,000 Frenchmen with their hands up?
Well, I think I know the answer to this.
You're right, the army. And how long does it take for a French woman? Now, this is very serious. This is a scientific one, Phil, so I want all your listeners out there, especially the French people, to listen to this one because it's scientific.
Great. What is it?
How long does it take a French woman to have a crap?
How long does it take a French woman to take a crap? Is that what you meant to say?
Yeah.
How long?
9 months. Comedy Corner!
God, is that xenophobic, chauvinistic... Shut that off, will you?
That's French music.
No kidding, really. I thought it was a Canadian. I can hear the guy going... 9 months. All right, get out of here, man.
Thanks a lot, Phil. That's Bud Dickman Comedy Corner.
Okay, that's great.
Bud Dickman Comedy Corner.
That's great, Bud. That's good, Bud. Good job. All right.
Bud Dickman Comedy Corner.
That's fine, Bud. Very good. All right. All right, coming up on the show, we're going to have a couple of things...
Bud Dickman coming out! Get out!
Kick his sister in the jaw. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Car dealers in our next life.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686, the Phil Henry Show. You know, it just occurred to me that all of the bagging on the Frenchies that we've been doing here over the last few weeks, and we ain't got one call from one of them Frenchies objecting at all. And why would I expect one? Look, if you bent over for the Nazis, what, like a talk show isn't going to bother you. If you bent over and reached for that extra strength grease, some talk show big mouth isn't going to bug you. Said, I was just saying that to Craig. I said, jeez, I have never seen a country take a battering like that country. Battering, get it? And, or should I say broom handle? Anyway, and not say a word. And then I said, well, why wouldn't they? They're not, these guys, they're used to it. They're used to it. However, I will tell you this. This is interesting. You know that, like, I don't know, a month ago I said, hey, why don't we boycott French products? No, whatever. I mean, what do they got that we don't want? And so what do they got that we do want? What do we import? What do we export? Some people actually emailed me telling me the variety of products that we import from France. And even an American congressman was calling for a boycott. Well, guess what the latest is? The French, they're laughing at us. Because they say Americans have never gone through with any kind of an economic boycott unless there were grave human rights violations at stake. Like the civil rights movement, when they boycotted the lunch counters and when they boycotted the department stores in the South, that worked. That worked. That took a lot of money out of the pockets of the store owners down in the South, and it worked, and they began to open up their stores and began to open up their amenities to African Americans. But this, boycotting French stuff, the frogs are saying, funny. Because you Americans, you can't come through with any of that stuff. Here's a quote from a guy, Guillaume Parmentier, who's the head of the French Center on the United States. He told the CBC in Canada, this never works. Boycotts only work when there's grave human rights violations, but with these Americans, it won't. With these Americans, it won't work. They talked to another guy who was with the French, embassy, and he said that, you know, it's ridiculous. Americans have never come through on boycotts. This guy says here, he's the, I believe he's a member of the French U.S. Chamber of Commerce, said maybe in New York a couple of restaurants would be affected by a boycott of French wine, but it's peanuts. It's peanuts what they're going to be able to do. And the guy's right. I mean, as much as I love my country and my people and all of that, he's right. I mean, hey, I think we ought to have a fan boycott against the baseball players. Uh-huh. Okay. You betcha. You know, I'll be right on board with that one. Hey, and another thing? Yeah? Let's boycott gasoline because the prices are too high. Oh, all right. I won't buy gasoline. Yeah. Great. How am I getting to work? I forget. Anything else? Yeah. Let's boycott, the advertisers of Married with Children. That'll get it off the air. Yeah, what are we now, 18 years later? By the way, can I ask you something? What? What does boycott mean? Yeah, that's what I thought. Freaking don't even know, man. So boycotts, it's jive. Unless you are really, really committed, unless you really feel... And what's the last time this country ever felt strongly about anything except maybe about 3-4 months after 9/11? When's the last time we felt really motivated by anything in this country except maybe the 3 or 4 months after 9/11 when we wanted to drag bin Laden behind a truck? Just for starters, just as an appetizer, we wanted to drag him behind a truck. Ever since then, it's back to the old America that I know and love. I don't know. I think it's wrong that we're going to go to war. I don't even want to get on that thing anymore, man. It's just so frustrating. But guess what? Whether you like war or not, we're going to be going to war. So you might as well suck on it. We're going to be going to war, and you guys will still be pumping your fists in the air and jacking your signs all around when the war is over. And Saddam Hussein will be dead, and I know it'll sadden many of you. All right, you know what I'm going to do? Let's have more protests. I want more protests. I think it's great. I think anti-war protests are fantastic. They're great. Do more of them. More. Thousands, hundreds of thousands in the street. Let's jam up the White House with emails. Hey, by the way, I heard Handel this morning had Captain Dye on his show. Hey, thanks a lot, Bill. You know, I wanted to have him on my show if the war got rolling. Captain Dye? Because we had him on after 9/11. And Handel stole him. So now Captain Dye is franchised with the Handel show. Oh, well. Hey, how many times? Yeah, I'm not going to have him on now because Handel's got him on. Every time I got a good idea, somebody someplace got to steal it. And do I get any credit? No. Somebody somewhere's got to say, oh, I heard he's on Phil Hendry. That's a great idea. Let's have him on the Bill Handel show every morning during the war. And, Phil, you can sit there on your thumb and just pound sand. Do I sound bitter? Do I sound angry? I'm not really. I'm feeling really good today. Feeling fantastic. I had a wonderful morning. I have begun my diet yet again. I'm back on Weight Watchers. I'm back on Weight Watchers. And I got to drop 40 pounds before we actually walk onto a soundstage and shoot this TV pilot that they want me to shoot. And let me just say this. That's in about 5 weeks. I got to lose 40 pounds in 5 weeks. I said I got to lose 40 pounds in 5 weeks. Now, let me just say this so that everybody is clear, so that everyone's on the books for this one. My good buddy Craig Taylor is going to match 40 pounds with me over the next 5 weeks. We will drop 40 together, so that's 80 pounds. Yeah. Serious? Yeah. If you do Weight Watchers and you get on that treadmill or whatever, man, we can do it. You know, we can't do 40 pounds in 5 weeks. You know what we could do in 5 weeks? We could do 25, 30 pounds. We could do 25 pounds in 5 weeks. You want to do it? All right, let's go. Let's go. Let's lose 25 pounds in 5 weeks. We're going to get out there. We'll lose the 25 pounds in 5 weeks so that I don't look like a complete and utter fat slob when we go to shoot this pilot. But I want to tell you this, just so you know. I know where, and by the way, can I make a statement right now? Because I've got a lot of people who are emailing saying the following. Since when are you doing, like, serious commentary on the war and stuff? Since I decided that I wanted to, that's when. People are, you know, you do a comedy show. Why are you talking about, like, Iraq? Because I feel strongly about it. Yeah, but you should do more laughs. Well, you know what? I'm doing as many laughs as I feel like doing. I do a three-hour radio show. And the fact is, every good show evolves and changes as to the times, as to the events, as to the state of mind and the personality of the individual hosting the show. And Phil Henry is a different man than he was pre-9/11. Will you? Thank you. I'm a different guy, and I think about things in a different way. So I'm going to bunch, you know, we're going to pop in a couple of more comments about Iraq. I'm calling it Iraq. I'm not calling it Iraq. Okay, so I'm talking down to you. I'm making an effort to reach people. But if it's something that, seriously, let me just say this. If it is something that you don't like, it's been nice having you as a listener. I wish you all the best. We'll see you later. Because, you know, I ain't changing. We are going to do what we do on this show. Now, we do political satire, we do social satire, we comment on the human experience, and occasionally I stop down and I talk about things that I care and feel very strongly about. And that's the way this is going to go. This is the way my show goes. You don't like it? Pound sand. Piss off. And like that there. I don't mean to sound angry, but Craig Taylor wrote those lines for me, and I read them dutifully. Craig Taylor. I'm actually not here. You can do whatever you want. Now, that took me entirely off the point of what we're... Oh, yeah. The pilot, we're going to shoot the TV pilot. Now, we may go to war against Iraq, or Iraq, if you will, during the time that we're doing this TV pilot. I was going to take a few days off to do it. I'm going to tell you something right now. This radio show doesn't go anywhere. If we go to war with Iraq, I'm here. I don't care if I got to go from the soundstage over there at NBC all the way back over here to do the show, or if I do the remote broadcast from NBC, which is probably what we're going to do. This radio show ain't going no place. And by the way, we will be on the air 6 solid hours live, so that we are live 4 to 7 on the West Coast, live 7 to 10 on the East Coast. Now, did everybody hear that? I hope every one of my affiliates got that. If, and I'm hoping we don't, by the way. I'm hoping, I heard Captain Dye this morning say this, and I thought it was phenomenal. He said, you know, there's a lot of psychops that we're doing right now in Iraq. We're dropping leaflets. We have the cell phone numbers of a lot of these generals. We have the email accounts of a lot of the generals and a lot of the cabinet ministers. And right now what's happening is they're messing with their minds. They're calling them up and they're saying, your mother wears army boots, and then hanging up. Seriously, they're calling them up and they're scaring them. They're making crank calls to these generals in Iraq, CIA. We got guys on the ground in Iraq right now. We have CIA and Rangers on the ground in Iraq, in western Iraq, in the desert. They're doing a search and destroy of any missile site. Now, it's not really search and destroy, but they're hunting any missile sites. They're hunting down any military sites. They also have set up satellite dishes. They're monitoring cellular phones. They're monitoring satellite phones. They're monitoring, you know, they're sending joke emails. They're saying, you know, you and your mama, you know, they're blowing their minds over there. So we're already at war. We're already at war. But I'm talking about the fighting, the invasion, the artillery, the tanks, the planes, the bombs. If that happens, and I'm hoping that maybe with some surgical action militarily, maybe we won't have to. Maybe we can, I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do. But if we do, this radio show is not going to go anywhere. And we'll continue to do what we do best, which is be funny when we need to be funny. We can be serious when we need to be serious. And we can be both when we feel like being both. And that's just the way it's going to be. And I say this with the greatest of humility, and I don't really know any other way to say this, but quite frankly, when we're funnier than anybody. And when we're serious or when we're doing news talk or whatever the hell you want to call it, we do it better than anybody. So what am I supposed to do? Not do stuff that I'm good at? I do both very well. I do both as good as anybody who does both. Nobody does both. I do both as good as anybody who does one or the other. Now, again, I don't want it to sound egotistical, but that's the facts, Jack. Take any one of these cats doing their news talk show, we beat these guys, I mean, we rip them a new one. And as far as funny goes, yeah, okay, yeah, Opie and Anthony, that's great. Yeah, they're a riot, man. Whatever, fine. I think it'd be great if one of them had sex with their own grandmother in St. Patrick's, that'd be great. You know what his real guts is if Opie had sex with Anthony in St. Patrick's Cathedral. Now, that's what I call guts. That's what I call cutting edge. That's what I call having real courage. If Anthony bent over and Opie gave it to him forcibly. So, in other words, what I'm saying is this. I will listen to their show if they do this. If Opie allows himself to be raped by Anthony in St. Patrick's Cathedral, I will listen to their show. I'll quit the business with a ball gag and everything. And Janice is saying, you know something? I'll quit the business right along with you. Or we may be fired. Because that's what I call cutting-edge radio. And my understanding is that's what they were considering to do. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Like I said, if we get good phone calls, we put them on the air. So what do you think happened this hour? One 800 449 8686, the Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
You know, a lot of people have been affected by the horror of this blizzard. This blizzard of 2003. Here in California and other places where we're not affected by the snow, we have no comprehension. But people were killed. People have been injured. People have lost homes. They've lost electricity, power. It was one of the worst storms of the last 100 years. Challenges the snowfall of 1996. There was a great blizzard in 1888, which was 21 inches. New York got somewhere in the neighborhood of 19 and a half inches during the middle part of this thing. Now, the gentleman that's on the phone is from where, Janice? Charlotte, North Carolina? Okay. Hi, Don?
Yes, sir.
How are you?
Yes, sir. I'm fine.
Where do you live, Don? You live in Charlotte?
At the present time, I live with my brother and his family in Norfolk, Virginia.
Oh, you're in Norfolk?
Yes, sir, I am. I'm originally from Charlotte, North Carolina.
And this is where you're working, right, Charlotte?
That is correct.
Can you tell me a little bit about what happened to your family?
Yes, sir. I live in the northeast suburb of Charlotte called Hickory. We got hit pretty good Monday.
By the snow?
Well, yeah, we had winds. We had snowfall. It hit about 6 a.m., I'd say, 5 a.m. We had power lines down. They got it in Virginia, in the Boston area. My brother called me from Virginia. They were getting about 3 in the afternoon when I called him. And I tried to get into work that morning.
Which was Monday.
Which is Monday, right.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a machinist for Pettigrew Machinery in Charlotte.
Okay, and you tried to call them?
Yes, sir.
And how long did you try to call them?
I tried all day Monday. My wife also tried on Monday night, and I was not able to get through. And I could get through the snow. I could not get through the snow, and I have a four-wheel drive Suburban, but it was too dangerous for me.
So you could not get into work on Monday, but you did try. Your wife tried to call. It was too dangerous to get out?
It was. We had about 12, 14 inches of snow, but we had power lines down, and we had ice. And there were two bridges between where I live and where I pick up the interstate to go into Charlotte. There are two bridges that were gone.
So you could not traverse any bridge?
That is correct, yes, sir. And
so were you fired on Tuesday?
Yes, sir, I was.
What was the reason they gave?
They said I did not show up for work. I did not get in touch with them. I told my boss, who was Jim Dabrowski, was the name that I gave.
Now, that's the name that Janice gave me, Jim Dabrowski, who is your foreman there?
He's a machinist supervisor.
Okay.
And that I made every attempt. He told me that they were going to keep my job on the line, but since I didn't call, they were eliminating it. And I still remember trying to get through. And I told him that I had tried to get through. And he said they were going to eliminate the job on the line because I had not showed up. And
I don't understand that. You have a blizzard, and you can't get into work because of the blizzard, and they fire you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I remember I had my daughter sitting on my knee, and I remember hanging up the phone, and I remember my daughter looking at me, and I remember she said, "Daddy, is there something wrong?" And I said, "No, pumpkin, there's nothing wrong. Daddy's always going to take care of you." And I had just lost my job, and all I wanted to do was put my head in my hands, I guess.
What kind of a company, I want to ask, what kind of a company is it that fires a man in the middle after he made every effort to get him in the middle of one of the worst blizzards in history to get in touch with him, and he couldn't make it into work?
Sir, I don't know. I was stunned. I have worked for them for 17 years.
How big is your family?
Yes, sir, I have 3 children.
Tell me about your family.
Yes, sir, I have Janie, she's 4. I have Paul, who's my son, he's 7. And I have what we call our little shining star, Samantha, she's 9. And we were planning on going to the Smoky Mountains to take the bobsleds for Easter. And
their timing's lousy, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it sure is.
Is there a number that I could call? Could I have a number of this company? Because I would love to intercede on your behalf, Don, and call this company on whatever level I can.
Well, I appreciate that, Mr. Hendry, but as I told your producer, Jan Missingaro, that but I don't want anybody running interference for me.
But, sir, I think it's an injustice.
Well, at a time like this, the only thing a man has is his pride, which I told Ms. Ngaro that, and I've told my friends that and my family who have called, and I do not want to be a charity case. And I guess the only reason why I called was to see if you had any social service number for the Charlotte area for families in need. My daughter, Samantha, who she's my shining star, she was diagnosed with leukemia 3 weeks ago.
Good God.
And my insurance was canceled because of the situation. So if I can apply for public assistance, at least I can get back on my feet.
Mr. Parsley, you have a daughter with leukemia. You've been unjustly fired. You've had your health insurance canceled. I believe that this is actionable. I believe you could sue.
Well, I called. There's nobody could do anything for me, and they said I didn't have a chance. And all I need now is to see if my brother will help me.
Can we do something for you on my show?
Sir, I do not. I have my pride. I have dialysis. The dialysis machines are expensive, and they're very. And I would not want to impose. I just needed to get a number for the Charlotte area.
I would like to put my number out there to see if people would help.
No, sir.
Can I ask my listeners, because I think this is outrageous?
No, sir. The only thing, if I was going to take any charity, all I guess I would ask for.
I think this is outrageous. And the least I can do is raise some money for you and your family or something. This is outrageous to fire a man who can't get into work because of the blizzard. Do you understand the injustice that's been done? Because I get the sense that you don't.
No, sir, I do, but I'm a prideful man, and I'm. I guess I would not ask for anything. But all I would ask for would be enough money to buy my little girls.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to buy them new coats for the wintertime. Especially my daughter Samantha, because the illness makes her feel cold so much.
I understand, sir.
I just care about my kids, that's all. I told my little boy John, we're the men of the family. We don't have to have no coats.
What is your wife's name, sir?
My wife, sir. My wife passed on 2 years ago.
I'm sorry. What happened?
She had leukemia.
So she had what your daughter had?
My daughter has cystic fibrosis. Yes, my daughter has leukemia, right.
All right, I'm going to give her phone number out, and I feel badly for you. Your daughter is Samantha?
My daughter is I have two daughters. My daughter is...
Well, one of them's Samantha, right?
Yeah, the one...
Who's the one that has the leukemia?
That's my daughter, Janie.
Janie has leukemia, and your son is John.
It's Paul.
I'm sorry. You know, I got to tell you something, Don. What has been done to you is so outrageous that I find myself shaking with anger. And anything that my show can do for you.
I just like enough money to get us through the week is all. I don't want anybody to make me a charity case, sir. All I wanted was a phone number to, if we could get public assistance or something.
Now, you mentioned the children need coats.
They need that. That's right.
Well, what you wanted money for? What?
All we're trying to do is pay some bills around here. That's all. Just so I could get through the end of the month. I got a car payment.
All right. 1-800-449-8686 is our number. 1-800-449-8686. Could you talk to him for a minute? Make sure he doesn't hang up. His name is Don Parsley. He is a man who has suffered an indignation that I think is outrageous. Absolutely outrageous. He was fired from his job Tuesday because he couldn't make it into work on Monday because of the blizzard back east. Now, the bridges were out. The snow had fallen. He's got a four-wheel drive vehicle, but he's got ice everywhere. He could not call. And I know how it is in an emergency. The cell phones go down because the emergency services takes over everything. There was no way for him to call. And as a result, he was fired from his job. Now, he's got a daughter with leukemia. The kids need winter coats. No health insurance. It has been canceled. He is a man with a lot of pride. I thought if there's something we can do for him, I think it would be a notable thing. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. You've heard the story. Maybe there's something we can do for this man. 1-800-449-8686. This is The Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
On the therapy.
I'm with Don Parsley. Is that your name, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm sorry, Don. This gentleman was fired from his job Tuesday as a result of not being able to make it into work because of the snow. I think it's unconscionable that a man would lose his job because he can't get in. Now, you're a machinist?
That is correct, sir.
And you have some money problems, and I understand that you don't want charity.
The only thing, Phil, that Kathy, my daughter, her physiotherapy, with my insurance gone, it's very expensive. And with my wife, she had no idea that the roads are that slippery. And the car just, she lost control. So we've been hit with a double whammy here. And
I understand. Let me go to a phone call here. Dawn's basically facing some. Your daughter's is named Samantha, right?
The daughter that I have, who has the brain tumor, sir.
Yes, sir.
That's my daughter, Kathy.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Carly, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I just wanted to call and tell this man I'm so sorry what happened to him.
Thank you very much.
I lost my job not too long ago, but I don't have kids to take care of, and I just, if I could help in any way.
Oh, you are so kind, ma'am.
It's not a problem.
I'm a man, I grew up with a great deal of pride. And the only reason why I would accept any money is for my daughters, who I wanted to get winter coats for them. And before my wife died, she had wanted to get winter coats. And
I understand, sir. You don't have to say any more. What did you want to donate, Carly?
I'm just a teenager, so I can't give very much, but $20.
That is very generous of her, Don. $20?
Yeah.
You know what? That's so good, but it's not. It is.
If it's $20, she's a teenage kid.
I understand that, sir. And Carly, I want to say on behalf of my whole family, you're very kind, but that's really not enough for the things that I need. So, yeah. Could I ask you a question, Carly?
Sure, go ahead.
You have a job as a teenager and everything?
I lost my job like a couple of weeks ago, but I still have money.
Did you lose your job because of this blizzard or anything?
No, I live in Utah. We are not yet, or
yes,
no, we're supposed to.
Yes, ma'am. Ma'am, is there any way you could borrow another $20 from your parents or anything?
Well, the girl is offering you $20 from the money that she has.
I understand that, and I do appreciate that, but it's not really, it's not going to do anything, you know.
Well, my dad is currently unemployed.
Hello? Carly, you there? Okay. Well, the girl was going to offer you $20.
I understand that, but it's really, I can't really do anything with $20. If she could borrow some money or something, other than that.
$20 is a way to begin a fund, Don. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Where you can put money together and help the children one $20 donation at a time, if you will.
I understand.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686 is our number. Don Parsley is with us. He is a man who's gone through a hell of a tragedy this past week, lost his job. He's got a daughter with leukemia and a wife who has passed on, and all because of this blizzard. Let's go to Jack. Jack, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm a Florida attorney, and I just wanted to give you some time. There's something called COBRA. Have you been made aware of that?
Don, do you know what COBRA is?
Well, that's the insurance they told me that I could stay on. But the problem is I can't afford it.
But may I respectfully suggest to you
that first
to try to determine what your rights are,
yes,
and
sir.
Second, you might find some people who would help you with a fund to pay your insurance, because it seems with the illness your daughters have,
right.
That if you can keep that insurance in place, it should be a priority.
Yes, sir. The problem is the young lady who I just talked to was had $20, which I do appreciate so very much, but that certainly is not going to
I agree with you.
Do anything,
but like Mr. Hendry said, if you can get
right.
a whole group of people.
A fund together, yeah.
It's a start. You know, and I would offer,
yes,
if you wanted me to read your papers on COBRA, I would offer to read them for you.
Do you? As an attorney, you would look at those, sir.
I would volunteer my time if somebody wanted to take my fax number.
That's very kind of you, Jack. And I think that's valuable. That's the time of an attorney would take to look over those papers for you, Don.
Let me give you one caveat. I'm a Florida attorney. I'm not licensed to practice law, but I can still give you the benefit of my experience in that.
Sir, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
I don't mean to be wrong or anything. Are you Jewish, sir?
I don't need to answer that. Why do you ask?
Because my people have never really done business with Jewish folks.
Don, at a time like this, whatever prejudice you have, are you saying that you're anti-Semitic?
No, sir. I don't hate anybody, but my people don't really do business with Jewish folks.
What people are those?
Just Christian people that I know around here.
Well, let me make a suggestion to you, sir. You have a daughter with leukemia. You have a life that has changed. Maybe it's time to not only change your life, change some attitudes, and help your daughter. Would you think?
Yes, sir.
Would you think that maybe this gentleman who's reached out to you, who may or may not be Jewish, do you think maybe now's a time in your life where you're not going to have those prejudices?
Well, I can check with my wife and see how she feels about it. But
do you understand what I'm saying?
Well,
Don, what I'm telling you is this. You've called my show. There's many right-feeling people who have... You going to get that attorney's number? Thank you. There are many right-feeling people out there. You to say you're not going to do business with this man because he's Jewish?
It's just that my people have never done business with Jewish folks. But I can check with my wife and see how she feels about it.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Don Parsley. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now is not the time to have those feelings.
I appreciate that, Mr. Hendry. I would appreciate if you not tell me how to live my life, sir. All I'm asking is to come on your program. I have lost everything. I'm trying to help my daughter. And I don't think it's any of your business, my personal beliefs. All I'm saying is what you could do for me and what your people who listen to your radio show can do for me is to help my family with money, and they can maybe just keep their nose out of my private business. Now, that lady who called...
Well, there was a young lady who called and offered you $20, sir.
I do understand that, sir, and I do appreciate that, but what am I supposed to do with that? I asked her if she could borrow some money from her parents. The shoes that my son needs are and I have them written down, they are Nike Air. They cost $150. You can get them at the Big Five Sporting Goods. Now that $20 is a little bit of a insult to me is all.
All right, 1-800-449. Nobody's trying to insult you. No one's trying to insult you. People are trying to help you.
And I do appreciate that.
1-800-449-8686. Bill, go ahead.
Yeah, insult him. I'll insult him. This guy's a faker. He's got his daughter's name wrong so far on three occasions. He's got wrong. He keeps talking about a brain tumor.
No, sir, I said about that. My daughter has leukemia, sir.
You're a faker, buddy.
Uh-huh.
You look, $150 Air Nikes, that's what you want to get? You want people to donate money for that when you got a sick daughter and you lose your job?
That's just for my son, sir.
You're a faker. What's your daughter's name?
My daughter's name is Chris.
Yeah, so far it's Kathy, Chris, Stephanie.
I'd like to ask you a question.
You're a scam artist, buddy.
How would you feel if you lost your wife and everything and lost your job?
I'd rather lose you.
You know something, sir? That's fine. You can do what you want, sir.
Let me ask you a question. You've got a lot of confusing stuff here, sir, and I know you went through a trauma. You got to get your facts straight so people understand.
Mr. Hendry, I'm trying everything that I can to say what's right, but people call up. I asked for money. She called and said $20.
All right.
What's wrong with your daughter?
Right, hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
The blizzard of 2003 has affected many lives. A blizzard that is the worst, some say, in over 100 years. It hit the Northeast this past weekend. Among the states affected, North Carolina, we have a man on the line who was not able to get into work on Monday because of downed power lines, two bridges that were out. He tried to call. He tried to contact his office. He couldn't get through. As a result, on Tuesday, the man was fired from his job as a machinist at, and I'm going to get the name of this company before I go any further, Pettigrew Machinery in Charlotte, North Carolina. His name is Don Parsley. He's on the line with us. Don, you say you're a proud man. You do not want donations, but people are calling in with money, and you have entertained them.
My daughter is lucky to be alive. Lauren is our shining star, and I don't want anything for myself. I want something for her. My wife went to the Bank of America, had told her that we could get perhaps a loan on the equity on our house, but that's something that's going to take some time.
When that girl called in and offered you $20 and you said, could you maybe ask your father for more, what were you referring to?
Well, I think $20 is, she was very generous, and I do appreciate that. But I think when you're talking about a girl who's, my daughter has a disease like that, cystic fibrosis, that you can't, $20 is not going to pay, what's that'll pay for one pill of the prescriptions that you get when you have cystic fibrosis? $20 will pay for one pill, and they give you 20 pills. So 20 times 20.
Okay, I understand. 1-800-449-8686. Rita, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello?
Yes, Rita, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi. I wish this gentleman would get his story straight. I mean, somebody's offering help.
What have I said, ma'am, that has not been true?
Sir, you said that your wife passed away 2 years. People are trying to give you help, and you're asking them, the attorney, what religion he is? Does that make any sense? And you're
going to
ask your wife what she thinks? I thought she had passed away 2 years ago.
Yes, she did.
So who are you going to ask, the Holy Ghost?
Because when I pray at night, I talk to her. And
oh,
that's
for crying out loud. And you need money for $150 to buy your son sneakers when you have a sick child? You know, my husband and I are driving and listening to the show, and we listen to you, and we were saying, oh, poor guy. You know, we have kids.
You have $150 sneakers you need for your son, John. Or, I forget, is his name Paul?
My son is...
He should get the name straight. That's another thing. He can't get the kid's name
ma'am,
straight.
Ma'am, I know my children like I know every hair on my head, as the Lord said in the Bible. And my
you
son's
know what?
Name
Maybe you should read the Bible
John.
Over again, because I think you're kind of confused.
No, ma'am.
I think what's
ma'am?
Most important, what's more important than your kid's health? A pair of shoes for your son?
My son will have to go to school.
They're offering you $20, and you're saying you're asking the girl to borrow money from her parents when she's trying to offer you what she can afford?
My son has a club foot and needs those shoes.
I'm sorry, you don't need $150 pair of sneakers because your son needs those shoes. You need medication.
So all of a sudden you're a doctor now.
I'm trying to give you help.
My son plays basketball and needs the shoes so he can get a scholarship.
That's an excuse. He can get any pair of shoes. They don't have to be Nike Airs. I have two kids of my own.
Rita, you made a point. Rita, you need to turn the radio down too, Rita, okay? I need to make a point. Did you say your wife is dead?
Yes. No, I didn't.
He mentioned his wife was dead.
I said, no, she is not dead. I said, yes, she is not dead, is what I said.
You said what?
I said, yes, she's not dead.
But you mentioned earlier in the show that your wife had passed away 2 years ago. That's why I'm saying you should get your story straight.
Ma'am, my wife did pass away. I speak to her in prayer.
Okay, but you also said she's been at B of A looking to get a loan on your home equity.
Exactly.
In my wife told me in my prayers that she had been to B of A.
Look, buddy, I think you should
today
get your story
or...
straight. We're going through hard times. Everybody's going through hard times. Me personally, I have a lot of problems, and I don't call a radio making a scene like you are.
No, ma'am,
if you really have a sick child,
I don't want
maybe
money.
You should get your story straight.
I don't want
$20
money.
Is not going to help. What happens if 150 people call offering you $20? You're going to turn them down?
Ma'am, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Are you going to call up and yell, or do you have money? Or
no,
what,
it's just that
point?
You should get your story straight. Because if you really need the help and you have a sick child, I'm sure half of the world will be willing to help. But
because
you're asking this girl who's willing to give you $20 of her hard-earned money borrow money from her parents because $20 is not enough for you?
That's all I said. I said if you could get me another $10, that's all I said.
But don't you think that's kind of ridiculous that she's offering her help?
Well, that's a good
point. She's been unemployed also.
This lady was unemployed. This girl was unemployed. She offered you $20 of her money that she didn't have a job.
Well, can I make a suggestion? This lady that I'm talking to now could give me $20, and that girl could call back with another $10.
Well, how about you going out and getting a job like I'm working? I'm a very hard-working person.
Because I just lost my job. I just lost my job. My daughter.
You know how many people out there have lost their job? Maybe if you would have been honest enough and said the truth when you got a radio station.
I'm telling the truth.
Your story doesn't seem to be.
Why did you say your wife passed away 2 years? Why did you say your wife passed away 2 years ago?
My wife passed a kidney stone 2 years ago, which put her in the hospital. If that's what you confused what I said with, okay.
You said your wife passed a kidney stone?
That's what I said, yes.
You said your daughter had leukemia, then you said she had a brain tumor, then you said she had something else. You're not getting your story.
I don't mean to insult you, but can I ask you a question?
I don't feel insulted. If I was the girl that called offering you the $20, I would feel insulted.
Well, are you going to donate or what? I mean, are you just going to talk me to death? Because
The lady is offering some points that I think need to be made here, Don. We feel for you and for your plight.
I appreciate that, but she's like, I mean, I'm going to get blown over by the wind here.
No, it's just that I'm riding home with my kids and my husband.
Yes, ma'am.
And we're listening to your story because we have kids of our own.
Okay.
And I'm telling my husband, wow, honey, you know, we're going through hard times, but this guy's really going through really hard times.
And I am.
We can offer him help.
Yes,
but
ma'am.
Then I hear you changing your story every 2 seconds, and you know what? It just doesn't cut it for
my
me.
My daughter,
I work very hard for my money.
All right, I want to ask you a question. What is the name of your daughter?
Claire.
Which, the daughter who has leukemia?
Now you have me confused, okay?
How can you get confused when it comes to your kid's name? See, it's very hard to believe your story.
My daughter's name is Samantha.
All right. What disease does she have, sir?
She has a brain tumor.
Then why did you say she had leukemia?
If I did, I was confusing it with a brain tumor. That's all.
Do you know what leukemia is, sir?
I thought it was a brain tumor. I'm sorry, sir.
Leukemia is a blood. It's the cancer of the blood.
All right, sir.
You thought leukemia was a brain tumor?
Yes, I did.
Now, okay.
How old is your daughter?
My daughter is, she's 22.
22? She was 9 a little while ago. Wasn't she, or maybe I'm listening to it wrong?
No, ma'am.
Station.
No, you misheard it. She's 22.
No, I heard 9, too. I heard 9.
You have a 7- or 6-year-old and a 9-year-old.
You told
me. Now she's 22?
No, you also said that you thought she passed away, and I said she passed a kidney stone.
You know,
I just
should get a story straight here.
Ma'am,
I'm not
my story is straight.
He is.
All right, but have you got, how much, do you have any money you're going to give me?
No, buddy, you want money
okay.
for a job, like
my,
I'm working.
My doctor,
you know what? You're using these
Rita,
people on the radio station to
no,
make
ma'am.
A profit out of
no,
them.
No, ma'am. Ma'am, could I tell you something? I have.
Yeah, go ahead. You can
I
tell
have,
me anything you want.
I have a doctor who I respect very much. He's a Cuban doctor, but he has a very thick accent. He has a very, ma'am, are you there?
Yeah, I'm listening.
All right, he has a really thick accent. And so when he says brain tumor, I thought he said leukemia. And if that,
oh,
that's
for crying out loud, there's a big difference between a brain tumor and leukemia. I mean,
I
don't know what school you went to.
Yes, ma'am.
But
no, yes, ma'am. But he has
no,
a thick accent.
No, I'm Cuban. I'm Cuban, and
okay.
I have an accent.
But, no,
and
you speak very well. No, you speak very well, but my doctor.
There's a big difference between a brain tumor and leukemia.
Wait a minute. Your doctor is Cuban. He has a thick Spanish accent.
Yes, sir. And he said, you know, I can't say it the way he says it because I can't do it, but he said, you know, Claire has leukemia, and I thought he said Samantha had a brain tumor.
Even if he said it in Spanish, from leucemia.
Wait a second.
Un tumor en el cerebro is very different.
That's exactly what he just said. That's exactly what he said.
Okay, well,
okay,
it's really...
that's exactly what he said.
Wait
okay.
a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. You took your daughters in for physicals.
Yes, sir.
To a Cuban doctor that does not speak English.
No, ma'am, I never said that. I said he speaks English with a very thick accent, ma'am.
So you're just saying I told you in Spanish what the diagnoses were in Spanish, and you said that's exactly what he said.
Yeah,
so
because I don't know what he
said. Obviously, your doctor doesn't speak any English.
He came out, and he said, Samantha has a brain tumor, and you thought it meant Claire has leukemia.
So
or something
Claire?
Like that, yeah. I'm sorry, ma'am?
Who's Claire?
That's my daughter.
I thought your daughter's name was Samantha.
Yes, one of them. I have... three daughters, one
oh,
Samantha.
Oh, now it's three daughters. I thought you had two daughters and a boy.
I have two daughters and a boy. My son is, and this is tough for me to admit, my son's effeminate sometimes.
Oh,
oh come
you
on.
Know what?
Wait
you know
a minute,
what?
Man.
You're sick.
No, ma'am. All I'm saying...
Come on, pal. What do you mean your son's effeminate?
Yeah, he's going to say that his son's a fag.
Ma'am, no, ma'am, I did not say fag. I said sometimes he is a
fag. Oh, he's a feminist. What's the difference?
Well, my daughter Carly had a brain tumor. My daughter Amanda has leukemia. And, my
and
daughter,
now your son's a fag. Now he goes by the name of Claire.
No,
that's
ma'am,
exactly what you said.
No,
I may be Cuban, but I ain't stupid.
No, ma'am. I don't think you're stupid because you're Cuban. My doctor is a Cuban. He just
yeah,
has a thick accent.
Yeah, obviously you don't understand your doctor, but I think you know
no,
what?
No, that's right.
I
he comes out,
that
he
the
said,
only one with a,
la,
with
la,
a
la,
mental
la, la,
problem
la.
Here is
no,
you.
Ma'am,
I think
no.
you're using this radio station
ma'am.
To make money and to probably use it on drugs. I don't know what, but you know what? You're sick. This
ma'am,
is pathetic.
Ma'am, I think that is wrong to say I'm using drugs.
No, you're pathetic. You know what?
La,
you don't use your kids.
No.
You don't use your kids to make money off of anybody.
I think you need to either get your story straight here, Dawn, or...
No, ma'am, but you have to understand, when a man has a thick accent like that, it sounds like la-la-la-la-la, la-la-la.
Oh,
no, that's all
God.
I understand.
You know what? Maybe
my
you
son
should
is
have
a
better excuses.
Ma'am,
you're
my
really
doctor...
Sick.
My
honestly,
doctor told my wife that she had cervical cancer, she had had a cold, and I thought he said cervical cancer. All she said was she had a virus. And can you imagine how thick his accent is?
So everything that's going on...
You know something, Don? According to you, your life has been destroyed because your Cuban doctor's accent is too thick.
Maybe you should get changed doctors. You know, if you have that kind of a problem with a doctor... I work for doctors.
Ma'am,
okay?
I have bigger problems than that. My home... I lost my job on Tuesday. All I want to do is get winter coats for my two daughters.
And $150 shoes for your son.
Because my boy
was... Who goes by the name of Claire at times.
You know, you got to admit, Don, you're drowning in your own bull crap.
Yeah, it's bull crap.
You got it. Jesus said, wherever the least of my people are, that's where I am. And the two of you are making fun of Jesus Christ right now.
You know what? You're pathetic.
You're
using
fun
Jesus,
of Jesus
Christ to your convenience.
You are, man, because you're making fun of me, and Jesus is with me right now. And
no,
my
Jesus
daughter,
is not with you. You know
Jesus
what? You need psychiatric help.
Why do I need psychiatric
need,
help when my son is so gay acting that sometimes I...
Oh, buddy, you are sick. You know what? You're really sick.
Sir, that is your son. Why would you confuse him for a girl?
Because
he acts
very gay at times.
And you're getting him $150 basketball shoes? That's how gay he is?
Yeah, really.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a WNBA, hello. Ma'am, if you work for a Cuban doctor, he could have said to you, I'd like to give you a raise, and maybe you thought he was saying, do you want to see my thing or something like that?
If he gave me a raise, I would very much understand it because that meant that I earned it. But you know what? You need to get a life.
If his accent, Monday was just a terrible day. I crashed my car, I lose my job, and I called this radio.
You know what? We all have problems. Life is tough. But you know what? You're using a radio station and you're using the listeners to your convenience to feel for people to feel pity for you so you can make money off of them. You know what? You need to get a life. And this story about your is all bullcrap.
Story about which one?
About all three of them.
No, one.
All four, because according to your story, you have four now.
So
because
I guess
you even
you're
have
not,
a 23-year-old daughter.
All right, so you think I'm a liar, right?
You are.
Okay, so if you won't believe this one because it's absolutely true, but you won't believe it.
What's true?
What I'm going to say to both of you now, and you will not believe it, but it's true. And all I can say is Jesus in heaven, he knows I'm telling the truth.
All right, what?
My wife was abducted by aliens.
Oh, no.
2 years ago. Okay.
Get out of here.
All right, then Jesus Christ knows I'm telling the truth, and the two of you can burn in hell.
That's fine, but
you know
what?
My wife
you're
was taken
first,
away
buddy.
By a spaceship.
You're going first.
A spaceship.
You know why? Because you're trying to steal money from
No, I'm not. All I'm trying to say is my children are left motherless because people from outer space decided to take my wife.
Look, I don't know what you are or what you're smoking.
Yeah, you know
you
something.
Better lay off it.
What have I done wrong? Well, how much are you going to give me? How much are you giving me?
How much am I going to give you?
Yes.
You better get a job if you want something, buddy.
All I ever wanted to do was get my wife back from outer space.
Well, make sure the aliens return it to you unused.
Unused? Oh, so they're putting it to her with their alien penises?
All right, never mind. I would like to say it this time, and I'll say it on the air. I'd like my associate producer, Chris Pelton, the next time he puts a call like that on the air, to make sure the guy is bona fide and not straight out of the mental bin. This cat may have been telling the truth in his mind. All right, my wife was taken by aliens. And the Cuban doctor's accent was so thick, when he said she had leukemia, I thought he meant cervical cancer. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck up.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
By the way, the voice of Don Parsley was performed by me, Phil Henry. 1-800-449-8686. That number again, 1-800-449, I forget. And don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. You can get all of our audio stuff that is archived there if you have a backstage pass. So if you wanted to re-listen, for instance, to this past hour that we just did, if you wanted to listen again to those great phone calls, if you wanted to listen again to the great Don Parsley and his bullcrap, you could go to philhendryshow.com, log on using your backstage pass, username and password, and access any audio that you'd like. And we're talking about bits that go back 8-9 years on this show. different generations of our show. We've got bits on there from Miami, from the Miami days. We got bits on there from the Minneapolis days. We actually have one bit on there from the Minneapolis days, I think. And it's really not a bit. I'm just giving crap to some Norwegian. I don't know what it is. You just check it out. There's all kinds of things on there. And we're constantly adding new things. Did you add any new stuff today, Craig? Craig put in some more stuff today. Doug was dubbing off some stuff. So go to philhendryshow.com and listen to all of that. And if while you're there, you can go into our souvenir shop. And we've got, I think, a pretty good lineup of things for you to pick up. And also, our CDs are available there. And these CDs, the best of the Phil Hendry Show CDs from 1997 through 2002, each one is $20 a piece. This year's CD, world famous, the best of the Phil Hendry Show 2002, is a double CD set. So the double CD set, you're getting two CDs for the price of one. It's only $20. It's the best of all the CDs we've put out, and it's only $20. And the best part of this, all the money goes to my friend's place, which is a resource center. My friend's place is a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. They are located right at the end of Hollywood Boulevard, right at the Hollywood Freeway. And I think it's a worthwhile group of people to donate to because they are helping kids that are here from all over the country. I mean, they're literally kids ages 12 on up living on the streets of Hollywood from, you name it, Maine, Wisconsin, Nebraska, Florida, Oregon, Colorado, Louisiana, Mississippi, all over the country, New York. They are here because their parents have thrown them out, because their parents don't want them back. They're here because they've run away from God knows what. So they're given an opportunity to maybe change their lives, turn it around. That's what we donate our money to. So when you buy our CD, you help them. And I can't tell you how much we appreciate that. All right, we'll be back. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. He's still Jenny on the block. Now, Phil Hendry.
Oh, hi. Sorry, everybody's looking at me shocked. Sometimes my headphones are turned down. So you guys cannot assume that I hear anything going on, all right? Just don't assume it. Do we have our guest ready? Mr. Sewell is on the line. Herb Sewell is involved in a couple of studies that I think are interesting. Herb Sewell is a sociologist. He's also worked in alcohol rehab. You've done a lot of counseling of alcoholics, Mr. Sewell. And your latest, I guess we could call it broadside, is that wine, the number one drink, you say, the number one alcoholic drink among females in America, is leading more and more women to alcoholism. Is that true?
It's an oversimplification to say that it's leading more and more women. I think you're going to see more and more women winding up in alcoholic rehab because of the glamorization of wine, Phil.
All right. Well, that's essentially what you're saying in this paper, right?
We've talked about wine as if it is a very elegant thing, and what I'm essentially saying in the paper that you're referring to is that wine drinking looks so sophisticated. That the greatest tragedy of all is that women are drinking more wine in front of their children. And if you drink wine as if it is sophisticated and relaxing, and of all things you're doing it in front of your children, you can destroy not only your own life, but why would you do this in front of your children and destroy their lives? That's the point that I was making.
Why is wine drinking particularly destructive?
Well, it's a great question, Phil. The short answer is alcoholism. All drinking, you run the risk of alcoholism, but wine is the seductive way of becoming an alcoholic. And there is a term used on Skid Row, the impoverished boulevards of America, and the term is wino, and I'm sure you've heard that, Phil.
Yes, of course.
Well, the term represents the Bowery or the Skid Row bum, a failed human being, the homeless, the alcoholic. And what does he drink?
He drinks wine.
He drinks wine. The alcoholic who lives on Skid Row, who is living on the Bowery, who has no life left, who has no future, no money, is drinking the very same drink that millions of American housewives and women are drinking, filling a bath and having a glass of wine, sitting at a dinner table and having a glass of wine, sitting around, excuse me, with their girlfriends and having a glass of wine, ordering it for lunch. White wine is the greatest of all seducers, because women think if they drink a white wine as opposed to a red wine, that they're getting some kind of a health aid, that it is less in calories or something.
I've often wondered why women like the Chardonnays and things, so that to them it means that it's like a diet aid?
I think a lot of women think that Chardonnay wine or white wine or the Rieslings, if you will, Sauvignon Blancs, for instance, are less in calories. It's the great seducer. But the one thing that the American woman has in common with any common Skid Row bum is wine. And today, I think, is a perfect day to begin to draw those connections, open the eyes of the American woman, and more than anything else, Phil, recognize that she is doing this right in front of her children. And I can think of few things more destructive to do in front of a child than drinking wine, which is what your average Skid Row alcoholic drinks. And I know a little bit about this, Phil, because...
Well, I know in your paper you mentioned some person. Your father, you say, was an alcoholic?
My father, he was more than an alcoholic. My father lived on the mean streets of America's alcoholism.
He was a homeless, he was one of these bums you're talking about.
My father was more than a bum. He was much, much more. He was the king of bums, if you will. My father was... He transcended being a bum. He was a drunk. He was a wife beater when he lived in our home. And finally, when he was driven out, I'm sure he did his part to destroy the lives of other people. But
you're calling wine drinkers, sir, if I may interrupt. You say they're going home, they're drinking in front of their children. You're saying wine drinkers are alcoholics.
No, I'm calling wine drinkers what I call in the paper, Phil, and what I call in the book, functioning winos. We have winos who live on Skid Row.
The term wino is a very derogatory...
It's very derogatory, Phil. It should be derogatory. It means you are a cheap wine drinker, as opposed to a functioning wino who drinks his, what have you, $150, $100 bottle of wine. But they're all the same people. The bum that is throwing up into the sewer, or a woman sitting in a tub with candles lit all around, sipping a Sauvignon Blanc, she's exactly the same as the bum puking into the sewer. She's a wino.
All right, now, I'm going to ask you something here. I'm going to give our number out here, and then I want to ask you a question, and it may be a question you might find offensive, but I want to ask the question.
Fire away, Phil. I've had all kinds of questions. I've done at least 20 media interviews the last month.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Herb Sewell. He does alcoholic counseling. He's written a paper that is being quoted in a lot of different circles that wine drinking among American women will lead them to become alcoholic winos and no better than a drunk on Skid Row. Now, I want to ask you, because I hear a little bit of, is it hostility that I'm hearing?
I think you're hearing, Phil, a lot of things. I think you're hearing that I'm bringing a lot of my life to it, yes, absolutely.
Because your father was on Skid Row, you're saying?
My father lived on Skid Row in Los Angeles, downtown Los Angeles, right off of Hill Street, yes, sir. And my mother... who greeted the day with lipstick on her teeth and greeted the day with a cigarette hanging from her mouth and greeted the day. First thing she did, we had a jug of Red Mountain wine that used to sit on top of the refrigerator. And the first thing she would do in the morning was grab that jug of what she called her good old red eye. And she'd pour herself not a glass, but she used a coffee mug. And she'd pour it about a half an inch below the rim. And it was cheap, rot-gut table wine that she drank. And this is a woman, Phil, who started out drinking the finest wines. She was a Merlot fan for a long time.
So you saw your mother go from drinking Merlots...
Pinot Grigios, Pinot Noirs, Cabernet Sauvignon. She was a red wine. She loved red wine. And then she began to slide down to the Chiantis and the Burgundies. And then the day I came into my home, my own home, my mother was sitting there with a bottle of Tokay, which is a cheap Hungarian wine, and there was a bottle of port. Now, this is when you begin to suck this wino juice. And I can tell you, we used to joke that my mother, if she could siphon a wino, she would drink that stuff. These women are uncorking wine across this country, sipping it like it gives them sophistication.
So I'm right, there was hostility.
Well,
I mean, you got hostility toward a mother and a father, both sounds like flaming alcoholics. In your mother's case, she drank, you call it, quote, cheap table wine.
They're about,
that's true.
Yes, that is true. Women think that wine gives them sophistication. They're about three bottles away from brown bagging a bottle of Chinese cooking wine or that cheap street plum wine that they used to peddle on the streets of Shanghai when I was over there as a student. Let me tell you, Phil, the women of America could drink themselves into a sleeping bag with a strange man. It wouldn't bother me, but when they do this in front of their children, children trying to find their mother among a herd of pathetic, smelly, dirty, homeless dirtbags on Skid Row. Children.
All right, so that we're not...
I'm not trying to be overly dramatic, but you understand.
No, I understand. The average American woman is drinking herself onto Skid Row.
The wine. The wine.
All right. One more question, then we'll take a break. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Drinking wine is driving more and more women to become nothing more than cheap winos. Are they on Skid Row, literally, or are they...
No, they're sitting there in their homes, and they're sucking their wine, and you can see that it's already taken its toll. Phil, I want to just one more thing. I want to say...
No, I want to ask you, because I got to take a break.
All right, sir.
All right. What about wine tastings and wineries? These places?
These are places, yes. I wanted to get to that. That give a look of sophistication to the wine drinker. It is the devil itself. It is the devil himself. It is the ultimate persuader and seducer. The idea, oh, I think I'll go into a wine tasting. Yeah, sure. What do you think is going to happen? You're going to go in there, lift your pinky finger up, elegantly sip some dessert wine, and then what? Do you think you're special? Do you think you look elegant? You look like... Well, I will hold my judgment, Mr. Henry, because...
Like I said, this is very personal for you, isn't it?
It's a little bit personal, but mostly it's academic.
Well, what does she look like when a woman goes into that wine tasting and lifts her finger? Because this is about women, isn't it?
I know, it's about all of us, but women are the ones that are most at risk.
Well, what does she look like?
When I see women in wine tastings, and I see them in wineries all the time...
What does she look like to you?
She looks like a slut. She looks like a $3 whore.
Interesting.
I think it's interesting. I resent a little bit you trying to play psychologist, but...
No, sir, please. I'm not trying to play psychologist.
Understand my background, Mr. Henry. I had a wife. I had a mother. It's a Freudian slip. I had a mother who would come at me with her dressing gown open and a bottle and a cup of cheap table wine in her hand.
I understand. All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Are you a wine drinker? Do you feel that it's something you shouldn't be doing in front of your kids? According to this gentleman and the broadside that he's published for the Medical Research Institute, wine drinking among women especially is leading them to alcoholism and to being a wino, what he calls a functioning wino. And the worst part of this, he says, that there are millions of American women sitting around in the evening drinking wine right in front of their kids. Now, please be mindful of what you heard, and I heard, that this man has some personal issues. His mother apparently was an alcoholic, his father was, and... He obviously is very emotional about it. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Are you drinking wine in front of your kids? Do you know or do you feel that you're being seduced into becoming a wino? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Whitney Houston's dealer.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'd like to say at this time that, you know, I have sponsors who are wineries and who are you know, and I drink wine, and my wife drinks wine, and we live in California where we happen to feel we have a very nice selection of wines.
Can I repeat the story that I told you off the air, Phil?
Go ahead.
My mother used to say these words to me. She used to say, a glass of wine a day keeps the doctor away. 4 glasses a day helps me to stomach you and your father. Now, can you imagine saying that to a 10-year-old boy as he stands there holding a towel with his own mother's vomit in it after cleaning up after her, while she's on her all fours, her dressing gown hiked up over her hips? I don't think it's any wonder why I have come down very firmly in the anti-wine camp. And certainly I've seen the effects of so-called sophisticated wine drinking on an average American housewife.
Your mother was an average American housewife. Your mother had an alcoholism problem.
And women who insist on drinking this cheap red-eye rot gut will have the same problem.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Pamela, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Herbert Sewell.
Yes, I'm your average housewife, and I strongly resent being told that I'm on my way to being an alcoholic because I drink wine. I drink wine with dinner. My son has seen me drink wine on occasion, not a lot, but on occasion. He has grown up to be a fine, educated man, and there...
I don't doubt your son's a fine man, but does he hate you?
No, he loves me, but I don't want an alcoholic for a mother, too. That had nothing to do with my life.
Your son could hate you, and you wouldn't know it.
Well, what makes her think... What indication does she have that her son hates her?
I don't know. But let me say, Pamela, what do you think, why do you think they call them winos?
They call, that's a slang term for someone that is an alcoholic that doesn't have any money, and that's the cheapest way that they can get intoxicated.
They drink.
It's by buying a cheap bottle of wine.
The short answer is they drink wine. And why do they drink wine? Because they can get blasted very quickly. Now, how do you know your son...
Well, yes, but that's also very inexpensive.
Well, it's very inexpensive. Exactly. Exactly. Why do you drink it? It's very inexpensive.
No, that's not why I drink it.
Isn't it a way for you to get a cheap buzz quick in the evening without going to a lot of work?
Well, first of all, I don't want to get a cheap buzz. I don't want to get a buzz. I have a glass of wine with dinner after working 8 to 9 hours a day, and there's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't influence my decision-making. It has nothing to do with, am I going to be an alcoholic or not?
Well, do you drink wine? Let me ask you, is it the wine with a screw cap? Does it have a cork? What kind of bottle does it come with?
It has a cork.
All right. The wine that you drink, on average, how much does it cost?
Is this relevant?
Absolutely relevant. How much on average does your wine cost, Pamela?
Well, if it is relevant, tell me why it's relevant first.
Well, if you are going for the inexpensive wine, we've got a problem. I mean, it allows you to, you know, you're trying to camouflage your feelings, whatever naughty thoughts you have, whatever desires you have. How is your relationship with your son? These things. So how much does the wine cost?
Well, I don't know, the relationship with her son?
Just, how much does it cost, Pamela?
$25 and up.
That's rough.
Well, why is that rough?
It's pretty cheap. Some cheap garbage you're drinking.
Cheap to you. $25 for a bottle of wine is not cheap to me.
$25 sounds pretty good to me. I mean, you could go down and get yourself a bottle of $9 Freixenet or whatever that stuff is.
That's champagne. That doesn't count.
And I have paid
champagne.
$100 a bottle, but that's the average price.
I drink champagne. And I love champagne.
I do, too.
But, Jesus. What don't you drink, I guess is the question I should ask.
No, I drink champagne occasionally.
Are you a religious woman? Are you doing favors?
Yes, I am.
You're doing favors?
Yes, I am.
Doing favors for the pastor?
Don't answer that.
I'm a God-fearing woman. I'm a God-fearing woman.
You get enough red eye in you.
I'm a God-fearing woman.
All right, Pamela, thank you. I have a gentleman on the line here who is a drug and alcohol counselor. Roy, go ahead. Roy? Yeah, Roy's gone. Let's go over to Michael. Hi. Michael, go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Yeah, my name is Mike.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm a little concerned about, you know, as I've worked in the field for the last 13 years, you know, I understand that some people have a predisposition to drink. And what I'm hearing the gentleman say is anybody that drinks is basically heading for Skid Row, and there are winos on their way to Skid Row.
Well, I
and
think
that,
a lot
that concerns
of
me.
Housewives.
And the second thing that I want to mention, it concerns me because, you know, you sounded very hostile. And as I work with individuals who have substance abuse issues, I don't beat them up with my own issues to make them well.
I think that's a good point.
Well, I'd like to say
that. Hold on, hold on.
If there was anyone out there that had
Michael,
a problem,
Michael, hold on for
they
me, okay?
would go undercover.
All right, Michael, hold on, because we've got to take a break. We've got to take a break, but I want to get back to your call.
I'd like to respond to this gentleman.
Well, hold on, both of you gentlemen. We'll take a break, and we'll be back with Michael. You're the drug and alcohol counselor, correct, Michael?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Oh, so he's a big shot.
Hold on for a minute, and let me get a break here. 1-800-449-8686. Do you drink wine? Fine wines, you're on your way to Skid Row, according to my guest, because he says there's not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence that winos and wine drinkers get it. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. All right, I want to get back to Michael, who was hanging on. Michael, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead, sir. And Mr. Sewell.
I'm right here, Phil.
All right, Michael, you
I
were
just think that, you know, some people have a predisposition to drink, and that could be, you know, that could come from a lot of different things.
Well, I...
And I don't think it's fair to say that everybody who drinks alcohol or drinks wine is a wino.
Well,
ready for Skid Row.
Let me say this, Michael. The article I wrote for Women's Wear Daily gives ideas, and I think children or adults are within their rights. If you have a woman in your family who drinks this wine, and you know what I mean, this red wine they think is so fancy, pull the empties out of the recycling bin. Line them up on the street. Let the neighbors see.
Well, wait, now you're humiliating people.
I'd like to know if there's a better way. You know, I'm going to tell you something from my personal life. My wife drank wine. And when you walk in on your own wife with the guy who's supposed to be there installing your satellite dish, that's one thing. That's tough enough. But right next to them, what do you think I saw?
Bottle of wine?
Bottle of wine.
Well, that sounds like your own stuff there.
My own stuff?
Your own stuff.
Can I ask you something, Michael? You come in on your wife with a satellite dish installer.
Well, then I would have my own stuff. But for you to take your stuff and spread it out on other people, I think that's really unfair.
You're making it other people's problem.
And I am a substance abuse counselor, and I don't approve of people over-drinking. But for you to take, you know, that position really concerns me.
Well, what position is that?
That anyone who drinks is heading for Skid Row.
No, no.
There are people... There are people that drink responsibly, and there are people that have a predisposition
yes,
who drink, and it turns into a mess.
I'm saying
the way you painted that picture, everybody that has a casual drink is heading for Skid Row.
Well, I wouldn't call my wife slugging a bottle of Thunderbird wine with a satellite dish installer with her clothes off casual drink.
I don't think you're saying that.
You probably should have noticed there was something wrong with the relationship before you got around to getting a satellite.
Ah, so it's my fault.
Had some signs or symptoms that there was something going wrong.
Do you drink
before
wine?
Before a satellite man showed up.
Do you drink wine?
No, I don't.
And you're a better man for it, I think.
Well, listen, I just wanted to call and give you guys
all right.
my
but
concerns.
If you ever
I'm
walk
gonna,
in on your wife
you know,
with a Federalist Delivery Man or a man who is supposed to be there fixing the spa jets, and they're both nude with a bottle of wine. I think you'll see.
Well, I think you should consider getting breaking off the relationship and finding one more qualified to your taste, because this is not that has nothing to do. One doesn't necessarily, well, it does have, one does have something to do with the other, and I think maybe you should have concentrate not on the wine itself, but maybe the person who has taken the wine tasting thing to the limit of sitting around with the satellite dish guy.
He's the best satellite dish installer there is. Why should I break off my relationship?
No, he doesn't mean him.
You
he
guys
means your
have
wife.
A nice night. I can see the direction this is going.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you very much,
Bye.
Michael.
Michael, my mother used to drink her white wine and then clean my ears. So think of that.
So let me get this straight. Your wife was doing the satellite dish installer and the guy who was fixing your spa jets?
In the same afternoon. And the common thread, Phil. Go ahead and laugh if you want to.
No, I'm not laughing. I just...
The common thread. The thread that ran through the afternoon. Whether it was the satellite dish installer or the spa jet installer or whether it was the UPS driver or simply the man from Southern California Edison who had come to read the meter. All of them naked. All of them with my wife. All in the same afternoon, and the same bottle of Thunderbird. Now, what do you think the commonality there is?
Your wife?
Bull crap, the Thunderbird. Don't lie to me. He says I should break the relationship off. That guy's the best pool man I have.
Okay.
My mother used to swig an entire bottle of white wine and ask to pinch the pipples on it.
Okay. 1-800-449-8686. I think I'll go home tonight and enjoy a nice big bottle of...
Yoo-hoo.
You got it. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. He's still Jenny on the block.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
By the way, that was me doing the voice of Herb Suhler. We got a flashback from yesterday's show. Vernon Dozier was on. He is, as you know, he's a football coach and as well a math teacher at a high school in South Pasadena. He also has his own phone polling company. He's a phone pollster. And he feels that most people are liars when they answer poll questions, so he keeps calling back until they tell the truth.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
All right, let me ask you, on a scale of 1 to 10, how scared are you after 9/11?
Well, if you were listening to what I said, I would have told you 4, and I told you the reason why.
That's the biggest lie I've ever heard in my life. And you know something?
Are you religious?
Yes, indeed. No, ma'am, are you religious? Because there is a hell. I believe in Jesus Christ, and you will cook.
Oh, well, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you really need to get down on your knees.
Because
you cannot control the situation, and you are trying to control people, which, if you know anything about God and the Bible, it's a freedom of choice.
Lydia.
Everybody has a freedom of choice.
You lied today when you said it was the great Kresge. It's not. It's the great Kreskin. So that's a lie. You said...
That was a mistake. That's not a lie.
No, everything's a lie because he knows everything.
When was the last time you had a solid bowel movement?
That is none of your business. But let me tell you this. I do not break out in sweat, and I do not have the problems that you have.
Ma'am, I don't think I've got a health problem. I believe that
Do you think it's normal? Do you think that's normal to not be able to use the bathroom and, as you say, to put a corkscrew up your behind? Do you think that's normal?
I would say this, that ever since 9/11, it is a natural fear that some raghead is going to jump out from behind a building and toss a bomb at me. Okay, that's number one. Are you going
to
have normal bowel movements?
That probably could happen, and not by a raghead, by the way you treat people. Second of all, it's not a normal response to have it happen in the manner you're getting all worked up over conversation.
Yeah, you can't get into an airplane and mop your brow with sweat.
Hello, both of you. 9/11, 2001, two airplanes flew into two buildings. Another one flew into the Pentagon. And I am being irrational?
At this point, yes.
What's up?
Hello? The fact that you are getting so worked up at this point, yes. The government is
Lydia, my mother.
We're not talking about your mother. I don't want to talk about your mother. I heard about your mother. She has nothing to do with this issue.
She haunts every waking moment for me.
Well, you need to go and talk to somebody about that. That's an issue. That's an issue that you need to work out,
wait
and maybe that'll help your sweat and your bowels.
When I go outside, I run as fast as I can in a zigzag motion to avoid terrorist bullets, and I scream in fear just looking out the door. Sir, please, you need to talk with someone about that can help you.
I can't help you.
What I can say to you
is that you need to speak with someone and get counsel.
Oh, God.
You know, if that's, you've got like agoraphobia, you have...
Oh, really? Okay, well, listen, Ben Casey, can we...
You know, every... yeah, I will say this, you are a sarcastic son of a gun, aren't you?
I am trying to save my life and the life of my kind. I want to ask Lydia a question for my survey. Lydia.
Yes.
What is your favorite color?
My favorite color is maroon.
What? What do you mean maroon?
Oh,
what?
It just, it just,
maroon.
Believe it. It's a red color. It's a shade of red.
I thought maroon, forgive me, I thought that was you know what an octoroon is, right?
No, I don't.
You don't know what an octoroon is?
You don't have to tell her.
No, I thought that's what she was referring to.
You don't have to tell her.
An octoroon.
Never mind what an octoroon is. Lydia, thank you so very much for being another voice of reason here. Because when I hear that tape...
That's not even a color. Maroon is what happened to Gilligan.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
There's the punchline. Maroon's what happened to Gilligan. That was great. Or, as Jim Rome would say, that was great. That's a great interview. I want to thank, Bill Parcells. That was great. Great interview. As usual. As usual, I did a great interview. It was great. Oh, okay, Jim. No, it really was great.
Oh, all right. You say so.
And we just had on Kevin Brown, Bill Parcells, Mr. Reggie Miller. You missed a great interview. It was great.
So let me just say that I thought that was
great.
Anyway, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. And if you want to get more of that garbage, you can log on to our website, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. A couple of things coming up in the future days. We have our show at the Aspen Comedy Festival. Join us at 4 o'clock Pacific, 7 Eastern, for an hour from the Aspen, the HBO Comedy Arts Festival in Aspen, Colorado. We'll be on stage performing for the folks there in the Aspen Room at the St. Regis Hotel.
Say what?
And then some other stuff's coming up, isn't it? I forget. Well, we'll just be here with you each and every day. Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. Get the official Western Estates Homeowners Association Country Club polo shirt. Get that Ted's Beverly Hills bowling shirt. Get your Jay Santa Citizens Auxiliary Police t-shirt. Get the official Phil Hendry Show t-shirt. Get one of our CDs, and then you are ready. The CD, all the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. And now for some comedy. A Moroccan who's helped paying tuition and rent for members of an Al-Qaeda cell helped conceal the September 11th terror plot. In other words, this was a guy who helped pay the tuition and rent for members of an Al-Qaeda cell that eventually murdered 3,000 people. He got 15 years in prison. Wow. Really threw the book at him over there, didn't you, Krautenheimers? Nice job. Boy, you go to Germany, they really toss the book at you. Just think, like under Hitler, if you farted in the wrong direction, you got the guillotine. Now, if you butcher up 3,000 people, well, you know... Maybe 5 years, out with good behavior in 3. What a life. What a world. I'm in love. Nice going, Germany. You know, it's one thing you guys are hooking up with the frogs. That's insult enough. Now you get a guy who helped carve up 3,000 innocent human beings in the World Trade Center, and the guy gets 15 big years. Because, you know, under German law, that's the maximum penalty. You know what's happened to the Germans? Seriously. They have a case of moral... They think they're better than everybody else because they lived through the Nazis. Now they think they know what's right and what's wrong. Just like that guy that called my show. Well, all of my German friends say this is exactly how Hitler got in power. Oh, come on.
You see, Mr. Henry, this is exactly how Hitler got in power. What Bush is doing, they're saying, they're warning us. They're warning us. They're warning you? What, did they get dumb all of a sudden over there? Well, I know they've been dumb for a long time, but they're particularly dumb. You know, the Germans, they love to talk about Beethoven and all of that. You know that those German hillbillies they got living out in the sticks are some of the dumbest hillbillies on the face of the earth? Man, they just got running water over there. Anyway, what difference does it make, man? It doesn't make any difference. It's just, you know, it's fine. Okay, great. It's just like one insult after another. Just one slap in the face after another. Don't worry, we won't forget. We're not going to forget. And there's a whole bunch of Americans who buy into it, too. I just saw this guy, Mike Farrell. Did you hear what he said? You know this guy, this actor? He said the following. We're using 9/11 as an excuse to go after Iraq. Excuse me, I thought Iraq was one of the reasons for the war on terror. Ah, to hell with it. I said I wouldn't talk about it, and I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to talk about it. I love it. I think they're all great. Let's get off of all of those guys, and let's talk about... Hey, I know, there's a movie out called Gods and Generals, and it stars Robert Duvall and great actor Stephen Lang, and it's about the Civil War, and I believe Robert Duvall plays Robert E. Lee. Now, the guy who directs this movie also directed a movie called Gettysburg, and in Gettysburg, the guy who played Robert E. Lee was Martin Sheen, one of these guys that's against the war in Iraq! Oh, I'm sorry. Did you see The Postman Always Rings Twice with Jack Nicholson? Is that a great movie? With Jessica Lange? Did you see the scene where he's on top of her in the kitchen? Janice, your heart would be racing. Well, my heart was racing. He grabs Jessica Lange and throws her onto like this cutting board with powder, with flour, and they make love with the flour, and it's all over her legs and everything, and then he goes off, and he hooks up with a circus, and the woman who is the snake charmer in the circus is played by Angelica Houston, another one of these scum that was on the beach in Santa Barbara, the stinking... Oh. Look, I'm okay. Okay, there's nothing like going home and putting a movie in. Do the Right Thing is great. It was directed by Spike Lee. I'm okay. But I think that just flip a cassette tape in, listen to a nice soft song, like the theme from A Star Is Born. Beautiful song. It's called Evergreen. You don't bring me flowers. You know that one? You don't sing. It's Neil Diamond and that slut. Barbara Streisand. All right. 1-800-449-8686. If we get good calls, we put them on the air. Scott Peterson's been locked out of his home by the police. Let's get Scott on the phone. How you doing, Scott?
I'm doing good, Phil. That was funny. Very entertaining always listening to you.
Scott, listen, you're now locked out of your home by the Modesto police because they got a search warrant. Don't you think the gig is up, man? Don't you think you are cooked?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Because it doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me.
Oh, it doesn't bother you, huh?
No, it doesn't.
Scott, your wife, Lacey, was pregnant. She's missing now, I don't know how many days. She was due to have your child, your son, last week. You killed her, Scott. And the only thing that is going to save your eternal soul from cooking evenly over an open flame is that you turn yourself in to the police now.
Nothing you can say but hurts me.
You want to be a child?
I'm not being a child, but you've been on this kick now for 2 weeks that I killed my wife.
And you deny it?
Yes, absolutely I deny it. I'm going to go give flyers out of her face so people can find her.
Will you stop? Would you stop with that already?
Why?
You're not gonna. Nobody's gonna find her. No one's gonna find her. How are you getting around the country? What do you mean you're dropping off flyers with a face on it? What are you using for money?
Nothing you say hurts me.
Oh, forget it. Make me want to put my boot through your face.
All I have to say is I am rubber and you are glue. Everything you say bounces off of me and sticks on you.
Oh, is that right? Well, I think that you're a pile of dirt.
I know you are, but what am I?
You're in fertilizer, isn't that horse crap?
Just like you?
Just like you. I know you are, but what am I?
No, seriously, aren't you a horse fertilizer salesman?
I know you are, but what am I?
Aren't you a... Be an adult for 5 seconds. Aren't you a horse fertilizer salesman? Yes or no?
You're a horse fertilizer salesman times infinity.
What a dick!
I know you are, but what am I?
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Controlled by the International Jewish Media Conspiracy.